Hello, and welcome to the Orlando Lady Boss podcast. I'm your host, Diana Griffith. I'm a business copywriter and blogger here in Orlando and the owner of OrlandoLadyBoss.com. And we are on episode 9 today. My guest is the wonderful Erica Jacobs with Pixodactyl, which is a creative and design company here in Orlando. And she is the designer of the awesome new Orlando Lady Boss logo, which I'm so happy about. And if you guys haven't seen it, please go onto the website. Hopefully you'll see it up on the little icon on the podcast player if you're downloading it from iTunes or Google Play. But I'm just so in love with the logo, and I just want to give an extra little shout out to Erica because her work is fantastic. So if you're looking for someone for design work, please give Erica a call, and her information we will share later on in the podcast. But Erica and I, when we get together a lot, we talk a lot about feminism and women and how you lift women up. And I thought that because it's Women's History Month, that it would be appropriate to talk about women's history. Or at least that was our jumping off point. The conversation today kind of goes all over the place, but really what we talked about, or where we started our conversation, was about women who have been overlooked in history. Because honestly, a lot of history that involves what women have done over the years has been overshadowed by a man, because the men have taken credit for things women have done. And that's really what Erica and I talked about, and how can we amplify women's voices to make sure that that is not going to happen moving forward. Because during Women's History Month, we talked about a list of, it was about 20 different references where women were overlooked for the work and the contributions that they have done. And there's probably plenty of others that will never even know what contributions they've made that will never be recognized. And so we have to end that. This has to be the generation where we end that type of problem. So that's a lot about what Erica and I talked about in our podcast. This is our contribution to Women's History Month, and it's a lot about raising women's voices up and making sure that we're not being overlooked in history anymore. And with that, I hope you guys enjoy the episode. Hey everyone, welcome to Orlando Lady Boss. Diana here, and I am joined today with Erica Jacobs, and she's with Pixodactyl. Hi Erica, what's up?
Hi, we're
going to
talk about women today.
We are going to talk about women today, because you know what? Apparently, we have been blessed, hashtag blessed, to have a whole month dedicated to women's history. Did you know that?
A whole month. We should be so grateful.
So we're taking a little bit of a different approach today on Orlando Lady Boss, but you know, when Women History Month comes around, which is once a year, we should take advantage of it. Talk about women and all the accomplishments that they have done, or maybe have done and haven't been attributed to them. But first off, I want to attribute some recognition towards Erica, and I want her to tell you a little bit more about what she does. So
Pixodactyl is a creative agency located here in sunny Orlando, Florida. We offer graphic design, illustration, and animation. We take your brand from static to fantastic. It's pixodactyl.com, P-I-X-A, dactyl as in pterodactyl.com.
Awesome. And I'll put it all in the show notes at the bottom of the show. So Erica and I are buddies here. We talk a lot about feminism outside of the podcast, so I thought maybe we'd talk about it a little bit more, and that's definitely something that happened, you know, that's a big thing that I like to talk about in my free time. So,
you can hear me rant a lot about feminism if you get within a few feet of me on a regular basis. And Erica and I are sparring partners sometimes.
Yeah, we're either uterine commiserators or vagina warriors, depending on the topic of the day. So there's some celebrating, but also some war waging, I think, or venting that happens, depending on your perspective. So
yeah, I mean, it. The whole reason I started the podcast and the blog and everything was because it's freaking hard to be a woman. And I think talking to the women, if you've been listening to the podcast, go back and listen to past episodes, even these really successful, awesome women that live here in Orlando, like, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to figure out what you're doing. And, like, it's no better time to be a woman than it's ever been. And that's sad. I mean, it's good, but it's sad because there's a lot more that things that we need to do to get there.
Well, I wish I could point you to a time in history where it was like all women all the time. This was the period you wanted to live in. It was awesome. That hasn't happened yet. There was no female renaissance. There was no real point in history I'd like to go back to. But I always say, like, if you had a time machine, you don't want to go backwards as a woman because you don't want to be around before tampons and you don't want to be around before Advil. And a lot of science, and you definitely didn't want to have to wear some of those girdles. So, you know, if you're a time traveler as a woman, you're definitely going forward.
Yeah. I mean, I remember listening to the history of, like, feminine products, and, like,
they're terrible.
They're
so bad.
The first way they came up with, like, a pad or something was, like, using a shower curtain to, like, imagine cutting up a shower curtain so you had something to, like, cover yourself so you weren't, like, destroying
your
clothes.
Don't judge my Tuesday nights, okay? That's how I want to spend my time with my Etsy shop, #showertampon.com. No, I'm kidding. That's not a product. Don't Google that. No, they're just absolutely brutal, from the shower curtain to the girl straps to hold in your maxi pad because someone couldn't think of adhesives, to a myriad of other things. It's just, yeah, you are definitely getting in that time machine and you are going so far forward, you hope you land on the Enterprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But, you know, one of the things that we were talking about before the podcast, which kind of led to us deciding this is what we're going to talk about, is women's history. And obviously, because it's Women's History Month, Erica, you showed me this article that came from Mother Jones, mm-hmm. about women who have been overlooked in history. So that's the problem, is I had a guy that told me during the election season, we don't need a woman president. Women can make strides in history without a woman president. And I was like, or this woman president or whatever. And I said, why is it that women always get to make strides in history and men just get to make history?
It's not just that. We get to make the strides that someone feels like writing down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when men make history, there's a plethora of people lined up to take note, write it down, talk about it, video it, however you communicate the message. But when a woman makes strides, it's usually in the shadow of someone else. It doesn't always have to be a man, though it is typically a husband or a business partner, or a father or a brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like one of the things on here is in 1861, after 10 years of working with engineers to design signal flares, Martha Costone is listed as administrative X on the patent. Her long dead husband is listed as the inventor.
Right. And he had to die for her to get credit, and I think that's super powerful. This word you're struggling through is administratrix, like dominatrix.
Yeah.
So she's not an administrator. She has to be the feminized, almost sexualized version of the administrator.
Yeah, it's a word that we don't even use anymore.
Right, we've phased that out. Probably because I'm guessing her contributions did not involve whips and chains. So I'm kind of glad we phased this particular nomenclature out. But the fact that her husband had to die. for her to get this credit. That just really sticks with me. The article that we're referencing from Mother Jones is titled, I Made That Bitch Famous. And, of course, that's from everyone's favorite quotable celebrity, Kanye West.
Yeah, and I'll put the link to this article in. We have a physical copy, but I'm sure it's online, so I'll find the article online and list it in the show notes so you guys can read through some of these other people that maybe we don't mention in the article.
But I love Kanye's quote, and it's the most recent one they list, and it says, Kanye West raps, I feel like me and Taylor Swift might still have sex. Why? I made that bitch famous. Goddamn, I made that bitch famous. He's, of course, referencing Interrupting Her at the Grammys, and I wonder where he thinks he made her famous, because before that, she obviously had quite a following on her own and her own career and wrote her own songs, but he spoke to her, so therefore they might still have sex, and therefore he made her famous. So those kind of quotes really stand out to me as a professional woman. Obviously, this list is a lot longer than the two we've just mentioned, and I'm very curious to hear from the audience, or write in and tell us your stories for the times that you've been overlooked or you've been forgotten, because the more research we did into this, the more women just kept surfacing, till I just had a migraine from it. I went, wow, this is a really huge issue, and if we've only got a month, we can highlight maybe one a day.
Yeah.
But the sheer amount of miscredit, it's mind blowing. And I used to have nerd coffee nights in college back in the day, and one of the questions we'd banter back and forth philosophically was, if you could do something important for the world, would you rather do something that helped people, or would you rather get the credit? And I used to always say back then, and feel very proud of myself, I'd rather just help people. That's clearly the right answer. You want to be Superman. You don't care if you get the credit. But as I age and as a professional woman, my perspective has really shifted. And now it's ladies, it's about the credit.
Well, and is it because as a woman we've been conditioned to be like, you just need to help. You just need to pitch in. You just need to go and like get your hands dirty and help out. And, and I think as women, this is something that's really relevant to everybody, especially women in business, because you are overlooked. I worked in a job where I would give ideas and they would just be completely overshadowed. And he was a smart guy. I'm not going to discredit his work ethic or who he was or whatever, but he had the right ears, and I could, because I wanted the company to succeed and I knew that they weren't listening to me, I'd feed my ideas through him. So what happened? He got promoted and I didn't.
Right.
And it frustrated me, but I wasn't actually being listened to. And we hear about it in the news all the time. Last year they talked about, even on the highest level, President Obama, we're not even going to go into the Cheeto face, but let's talk about the last president, who claims he's a feminist, and in meetings, the women in his meetings, they had to amplify each other so their opinions and ideas would be heard and valid. And as a woman, that's just not happening on all levels. Luckily those are some very hugely intelligent women who figured this out, and that's great, now we can use that example and help each other out. But women are just overlooked on all levels still, and it's problematic. And telling us we get 1 month to talk about our great achievements because there's not enough, it's like, well, there is. The first one on this list talks about pre-European cave paintings are attributed to male hunters up until 2013.
So since the dawn of time, humanity wise, things have been misattributed. The female contribution has been overlooked. It really is mind-blowing.
And it says that the anthropologist showed that hand tracings found alongside the art from 10 famous sites were likely done by women. So there's scientific proof that these cave drawings were probably done by women, but look, there's some type of famous art there. It must have been done by a man. It's the automatic that a man would have done something.
Right, it's the default. He is the default. It's the default pronoun. That's definitely true. And I think I'll go back again to, like, ladies, it's about the credit, because I realized it doesn't just impact me when I'm getting credit for something that I do. It impacts the women that follow behind me. It impacts the women around me at work. To know that one of us can get credited correctly, it means the others can get credited correctly. Mm-hmm. So we were talking a little bit about what I called amplification and what Diana definitely calls correctly shine theory.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think, like, that's a huge way we can counteract this lack of information about things women have created and contributions we have made, is helping each other amplify each other, helping each other shine, really getting the message out about each other. Mm-hmm. And really, like, Women's History Month is a great opportunity for that. But you could take the opportunity in your day-to-day, like, look around the office and think, like, who's a woman I haven't talked about lately? Who's a woman who's done something, but maybe nobody noticed she did it, and it was incredibly awesome? How can I help people pay attention to her contribution? It's about little steps, and they'll add up, and eventually we can kind of shift this issue.
And, you know, and I would even say for yourself, and, like, definitely amplification, and that's definitely where I started. That's why I started this blog, this podcast, is because I want to amplify the voices of women in Orlando who are doing awesome things. We need to be celebrated. We need to be talked about. It's important, because there's so many people doing, so many women doing great things, and we're not being talked about in the same amount of time as men. Like, I mean, I looked at the Orlando Business Journal does 40 under 40.
Mm-hmm.
It's not half and half, men mm-hmm. to women. And I mean, we don't have to have 50-50 split on every single thing, and I would have to go back through and look, but it was significantly more men than women. And it, you know, those types of things, it's like, who's making those decisions, who's doing those things to, like,
right.
You know, that's a prestigious thing, and there are a lot of awesome women on that list. There are. Like, in the last few years even, like, there's some wonderful women, some that have been on this podcast. It's great. But I'm sure there's more women out there that deserve to be on that list that maybe aren't.
Well, I question why it can't be a 50-50
yeah.
split. I don't think that would be incredibly difficult to do. That's almost saying that, oh, well, we couldn't find that many amazing women. Bullshit. You can find that many amazing women.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, well, we might have taken away a spot from a man. Again, bullshit. Like, you can find 25 amazing women and 25 amazing men. Like, no problem. Hands down. But, I mean, it could vary a little, but I think it's absolutely possible to do that 50-50 if you wanted to. Because it is really disheartening to see lists that are, like, let's say, 47 men and 3 women. That's just an example.
Yeah,
but,
and that one, and this one's not that bad,
right.
But it is, you know, it stood out to me, and I see those things. This is, you know, and there are dumb examples, but, you know, it's throughout all levels everywhere is... I was watching Shark Tank the other day, and they did a millennial episode.
She's lying. She watches it, like, every Saturday.
Oh, yeah, no, I do.
Like,
every Saturday.
Addicted,
every Saturday. No, I'm not going to lie about my addiction to Shark Tank. 100% addicted to Shark Tank. No, but I'm saying my example can seem trivial, is what I'm... But it's just an example across all levels, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had a millennial episode, and one woman was in the millennial episode. The other three, there's 4 companies on Shark Tank, they feature every episode. 3 of the millennial companies were men, and they were all men teams, and then they had one woman. And not even a woman team, one woman. And it's just, what does that say? Does it say that only millennial men are allowed to, like, have these? And now Shark Tank, they have a lot of women on the show, I'm not going to say that they don't, but... if you're going to target a certain demographic, freaking, like, have equal representation in that. Do better. You know, it's always like you get thrown breadcrumbs, and then we're told to be okay with that. And
you don't even like bread? Too bad. Be grateful.
And while I was researching some stuff for us to talk about on here, I even found a local Orlando woman that... she was basically the right-hand woman of Frank Lloyd Wright, Isabel Roberts. And she has done some iconic type of architecture around Orlando. Some of it is no longer exists, but some of it is. One was the first, some of the stuff that doesn't exist is the first Unitarian Church, Unity Chapel, that was on Roslyn and Central. And she did one of the band shells at Lake Eola. There's actually been three versions of the band shell on Lake Eola, and she did the one from the 1920s. Like, she designed it, not Frank Lloyd Wright, not someone else. This woman designed it. She's buried in Central Florida, and there's a Sentinel article that I'll link to also, that her grave was unmarked until last year.
Of course it was.
She didn't even have a marked grave. You know, these are the things. Like, it's just, there's no celebration. So how can we have a month about women's history and celebrate, like, the actual contributions that women have done when you may not even know what the contributions are?
Listen, bitches don't need marked graves. We're just going to put a tampon on a rock. And you're lucky we even signify that you're there. I'm being so terrible. So please let no one do that. How insulting to be part of history, to be an equal in things that you're creating. Your work is seen day in and day out in the community, and we can't even write on your grave. Like, mm-hmm. That's powerful. That's a powerful statement on what we choose to value and the contributions we choose to acknowledge.
Mm-hmm. And when you don't see other women in the positions and doing these things and making history, how are you supposed to think, oh, I'm good enough to do that, right? Because if you don't see other people leading the examples, you know, there's a whole history of women, and probably many that we'll never know, who made their contributions under men's names.
Mm-hmm.
So they were able to do the things that they wanted to do. And even now, more so, like, even now, women will have pen names that sound like men's names,
mm-hmm.
or they'll have initials so it sounds like a man wrote it, because there's more social cred for a man to write something than there is for a woman. And those things are changing, but it's slow.
Well, coming from the advertising and creative industry, almost like my thoughts immediately go to, well, how do we solve the problem? How do we get exposure and awareness to the problem? How do we leverage the message? And it almost seems like, do we need to just start making t-shirts with our accomplishments on them and wear our resumes around in a very visible way? Should that be a day during Women's Month, as resume day, where women just make all of their accomplishments physically visible in some way for 24 hours? I almost think like that's the level we're going to have to take this to get credit for the things that we're doing every day.
Yeah, I mean, and one of the things I think that you should do, like, when you're in the workplace, too, is write down what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Keep a paper trail.
Keep a paper trail of what you're doing. Actually write down what you're doing, what your ideas are, the dates of the ideas. Maybe email yourself them so you have a date stamp in some way. So you can take credit for them and go, this was my idea, this is what I did. I think that I hate saying that we as individuals have to do these things, because I think it's this thing that we have to change within the system. But when the system's not changing, we have to take it on ourselves to do these things. And we have to work on, you're right, calling out when someone at work, our female coworker, does a good job. Because all they think they're hearing is when the bad stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
They think women are catty and are uncollaborative and all this kind of stuff. And that's not who we are. And, like, let's not be pigeonholed into that position either.
Right.
You know, there's studies out there that show that, like, women do, companies who have more women in power are more successful.
Right. Companies that have diversity, creative teams that have diversity, all the studies have shown so far that makes your work better. It raises your return on profit. It's just the smart thing to do. Our ideas and our creativity are challenged and pushed and grow from encountering other opinions and other points of view. So if you're kind of working in a vacuum, that's not going to be a positive thing for you. It's not going to be a positive thing for your company or for your product. And you know, our listeners can go ahead and Google on their own those studies. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can link to some of them afterwards. But mm-hmm. I can only tell you, like, time and time again, the science is showing that diverse teams lead to better business results. And I don't even need to couch that in terms of, like, sexism, racism, feminism. The fact is the science is showing the results are better.
Yeah, and I think that, too, if you're a woman in a position of power, you need to look at other women that are in your company, especially when you work within companies, and find young women to mentor.
Absolutely.
And to help to raise up, because men are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Men are doing it every single day. They're raising up. That's how men are getting into positions of power, is that they see something in that person that they relate to, and they're like, mm-hmm. oh, that makes me think of me as a young guy or whatever. And we need to do that with women. So we are we're creating those positions to raise the women up into the right positions.
Our society definitely conditions us to see men as having potential, and women need to constantly prove that they have potential.
Mm-hmm.
And we can never prove enough qualifications. We're never, ever, ever qualified enough till that tipping point happens, and then we're overqualified and we're arrogant, and who does she think she is? Whereas men are always viewed for what they could contribute, not what they have contributed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, again, if you're looking to be an ally, like in your day-to-day, think about that in your interactions with other women, and try to see the potential in your friends, your coworkers, your family members. Start to really try to re-envision them as what can they be possible of, not what have they already done and is that good enough,
mm-hmm.
but what does the future hold for them? Because if they're intelligent, if they're talented, if they're capable, I guarantee you they have just as much potential for a bright future. They just need people to see them that way.
Yeah, totally. Now, I looked at the Orlando Business Journal, the split, 18 women, 22 men. So it's
not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
But at the same time, how many times is it the men always have the slight edge? You know, it's more so than not. And I'm going to give credit to them, because there's a lot there. So maybe we shouldn't have ranted about them before I did my research. But
we're giving them some press time. It's fine. We're not tearing them into the ground. We're getting people to look at their little list.
And there's some amazing women on that list. So you should totally look up the list, because there are some amazing women in Orlando that are doing awesome things that are on that list.
Right. Absolutely.
For sure. So, you know, nothing bad about the people who are in the list.
Right. No, but we're talking about lists in general.
Yeah.
I think that's just a jumping off point.
Mm-hmm.
The list happened to be published, so it triggered some issues from previous lists, and this one is pretty well executed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
There is a bit of discussion in the creative communities currently about why are the lists always 30 under 30 or 40 under 40? Why can't there be 50 over 50?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an interesting kind of twist to it. We're not totally talking about ageism today,
mm-hmm.
but those lists definitely, to me, not just foster sort of like a skewed perspective on women versus men, but they definitely offer a skewed perspective on the value that older people in professional jobs offer.
Yeah.
And we're not looking to them for wisdom, and we're not looking to them for expertise. We're only congratulating people who have done something way, way early sometimes.
Well, and I think too, for women, it's hard. I think that that's a good point to make, because for women, it's luckily we're in a time where I think there's a lot more younger women that are like taking the rein, you know, bull by the horns or whatever, and are doing really great things or wanting to become entrepreneurs or things like that. But there has been a bigger history of men being able to do that and getting a little seed money when they're young and being able to kind of figure out what they want to do so they can provide and build these companies and whatever. And women, I think, more often come to it later in life. So then if you're saying, oh, well, the only people that are important that are like rock stars out there are these younger people, it's really neglecting women who have made really big strides
right.
later in their career, because
right.
they did stay at home to raise kids first, and then mm-hmm. they started a company or got back into the workforce and really rose through the ranks, or the, you know, just the ways that women contribute differently to society is not being looked at in the same way, because when you just are always valuing youth, which is what these lists do, it's like, oh, look at this young person. And I get it, because that's the future of this organization or this industry or group or whatever. Like, who's the future? But how about, like, looking at, you know, companies under 10 years old and what are they doing? Because that business owner might be in their 50s.
Right. And I think it's not to say that the lists focusing on younger contributors should vanish. They shouldn't. Like, if someone's done something notable, they deserve to be awarded.
Of course.
Right. But there seems to be an absence of, there is no 50 over 50 list. And the ad industry, especially, you are almost like a unicorn if you are past a certain age, especially as a woman, and you've survived. So it's a huge accomplishment. And I feel that that needs to be recognized, and a lot of my colleagues are feeling the same way, that here are our titans, our titans in this industry that we have so much to learn from, and we're missing a real opportunity to leverage their knowledge if we're not recognizing their accomplishments.
But I think that those lists, too, also make people who don't accomplish something by 30 or 40 feel like failures.
It was all a midlife crisis.
Yeah,
they're like
giving
rocking
you
in a corner crying.
Giving you a midlife crisis, like, oh, yeah, here's this 20-something-year-old who's had three companies and, you know, failed in ventures and, like, got back up and, like, did other things. And, like, you know, everybody comes to their own stuff at their own time.
Right.
And, you know, maybe you got to work on yourself first and figure out what that is, or you have to take care of your family, or whatever the different situations you may be in.
Right.
And so you're right. Having diversity within those types of lists and recognizing accomplishments are definitely important.
I think if you're making a list of women in the ad industry over 50 that have accomplished these amazing things and are still titans in their career, you almost need to call it bulletproof. Because by this point, that's what these women are. They are invincible. I can't emphasize the word titan enough. They have really accomplished something incredible and deserve to have that recognition.
Yeah. And I think that there's a lot of different industries where it's like that too. If you see women at that highest level, and I mean, that could be a whole nother talking point of like, if you see a woman at a really high level in some different areas, and, you know, politics is definitely one where it's very visible to a lot of different people, they have freaking gotten knocked down so many times and told to be certain ways or this or whatever. And I think every woman can relate to that, you know, and, you know, we're a ways off from actually being able to have the world that where we don't have to do that, that we can just always be ourselves and who we want to be. But we have to just keep working together to, like, get to that point and not letting recognition of ourselves or other women who are doing awesome things go unnoticed. Because if we do, a man's going to jump in and take the credit for it every single time.
That's true. That's absolutely true. I'm going to kind of flip the script a little bit, because I am a comic book nerd, and Why the Last Man was absolutely one of my favorite comics ever. Brian K. Vaughan, if you've never picked it up. There's a character called Agent 355, and if you don't know history, 355 was a female agent in George Washington's Culper spy ring, and she was integral in us winning the revolution. She managed to be the only spy that we don't know what her name is. Like, no one ever found out who she actually was. All of the male Culpers have been identified, so her spy work, top notch. And I think, like, to me, that signifies if we can't get the credit, if we're going to be forgotten by history, we're at least going to be damn effective. We're going to learn how to leverage that invisibility and do something really good with it. And she just stands out to me as, like, a huge hero in the Revolutionary War, definitely, like, on a James Bond level, and so effective. And we wouldn't be here today without Agent 355, whoever she was. So, I mean, you can do your own Google research into her and the whole story and all about Washington's Culver spy ring. It's absolutely fascinating history. But there are points in history where women have learned how to say, I'm not going to get the credit for this. I'm not going to get noticed, but I'll be damned if I'm not going to do the best job ever and I'm still going to be a heroine. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So, but we're too far into the future now that we can't let that crap happen anymore. You know, women who are doing awesome things need the proper recognition. Mm-hmm. Because we need to have so much out there that there's too much to have for just one month. Because there is. There's too many of us out there that we should only get one month. It's just, that's not, that, we're not, we shouldn't be considered the other. We should be considered part of the normal status quo, you know, and that's what we have to fight for ourselves. Well, I think that's a good place for us to end, Erica. This was a good conversation. I think we got a lot in on here. Now, I want to ask something to you, because I end every episode with this. Do you have a piece of advice that's stuck with you over the years?
A piece of advice about this topic, or...?
In general.
Just in general?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, people toss advice at you so often, and you learn to filter it out. I don't think I have a quotable moment. I tend to learn from stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I learn my largest lessons from the entire story, not from like just a piece of advice. Mm-hmm. Or I do a lot of reading. I think one of my favorite quotes, if I have to pick one, is just be excellent to each other, from Bill and Ted.
I like that.
It's pretty succinct. It's easy to say. I think that really sums it up in everything. When I feel like someone isn't treating me well,
mm-hmm.
it can be for a variety of reasons, but that's what it boils down to, is you just really have to start there.
Well, I think you saying, like, finding out the whole story is also important, mm-hmm. too. Knowing the whole story of who someone is and why someone's acting a certain way,
mm-hmm.
is important. And I think that is as good advice as anything else. If something doesn't seem right to you for whatever reason, get the whole story.
Oh, you know, I'm actually also thinking of Jon Stewart's, if you smell something, say something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a huge one also. If you see something and it's unjust, or you see something and it's not sitting right with you, just don't be a bystander.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely that person at a nerd night at the Geekeasy a little while ago.
Yes.
Our intrepid host misquoted H.G. Wells as the father of modern science fiction. Science fiction, if you don't know, actually has a mother, and it's Mary Shelley, and she wrote Frankenstein. Frankenstein is the first science fiction novel. So don't ever let anyone tell you that sci-fi has a father. It doesn't. It has a mother.
And it was, and that's under, that was put onto this list too. She was published, she published Frankenstein anonymously.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband pens the preface, and people assume he was behind it.
Right. And I just think that's powerful, and I said it publicly. Mm-hmm. I corrected him in front of the entire audience, and then my uterus couldn't stop. And it went on to let everyone know that the first superhero story ever was The Scarlet Pimpernel. And that was also written by a baroness. And so superhero stories and science fiction stories, the genres both have mothers. So don't let anybody else tell you that's not the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for those two things that have been so influential in our culture, our pop culture to
especially,
this day.
Especially men feeling like they own those genres.
Right, mm-hmm. right. No, they were started by a woman, both of them. So one, you're welcome on behalf of our gender. But two, like, definitely stand up and say something. If you smell something, say something, and don't feel uncomfortable pointing things out and correcting facts if you know things are actually factually wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
But also be excellent to each other. Don't be a jerk when you do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we still love you, Ricardo. It's okay.
I didn't name him. You just outed him.
Oh, did I?
I just called him our intrepid host.
Oh, well, I'll cut that. I'll cut that part out. I'll cut that part out.
We do love him, though. We love Nerd Night. I love Nerd Night.
We do love Nerd Night, though. Yes, we love Nerd Night, so don't...
Nerd Night always has a lot of awesome female speakers.
They do. They really, really do. So just because that little gaffe from the host...
a slight slip he probably read somewhere else and thought was true.
Yes. But yeah, if you know something, you do. You know, it's funny, and I know I said we were leaving, but it makes me think, I saw this tweet the other day. A woman tweeted about something saying like climate change is really scaring her and it's making her worry. And some troll said, oh, you need to learn science and read more about it and da 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 da. And then she goes, well, I think a degree in astrophysics is enough. A doctorate degree in astrophysics is enough education for me to understand the topic accurately.
But yet. But yet.
So, yeah, you know.
It's hard to look at the internet comments on anything because it's just a cesspool of humanity's just worst impulses. So, but oh man, is that maddening.
Yeah.
Just let me mansplain your own career to you.
Yeah. So, with that, go out, be excellent, and be excellent to each other. I think that's a good place to end. Thanks, Erica.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for spending some time with me today. And please be sure to visit my blog, OrlandoLadyBoss.com, and sign up for my monthly email list, where I'll give you all the news and updates on things you need to know about women making an impact in Orlando and beyond, along with advice on how you can start making an impact in your own way. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Orlando Lady Boss, and you can like me on Facebook.com/OrlandoLadyBoss. If you're a woman in Orlando doing something awesome, make sure you hashtag it with #OrlandoLadyBoss. Finally, please take a moment to rate the Orlando Lady Boss podcast on iTunes and Google Play. I'd really appreciate it. And thank you again so much for joining me today. Until next time, stay strong and go out and make an impact in your world.